How are you folks tonight?
Good.
We want to welcome you back to our continuation of discipleship making and some of the resources that we've been looking at. And hopefully you've continued to read. Are you reading? You're not. Okay, well, it depends. Are you reading the material that we've been going over? That would be a different question. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you again for the privilege that we have of coming together as your children, Lord, to ask that you would instruct us by your Holy Spirit through your word. Father, open our hearts to the understanding of your word that we might reflect your goodness, your mercy, and your salvation. And Father, as we encourage one another, I pray that the body of Christ would be built up. Lord, as you have given us gifts, I pray that we would employ them for the edification of our brothers and sisters, and also, Lord, for the proclamation of the precious gospel of your Son that frees people and saves them. Lord, thank you for your presence with us tonight. I ask, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, well, this third portion, third part of the discipleship making course, or the time that the elders have set aside for us to look at discipleship and what resources we've looked at so far. I hope that those will be close at hand, right next to your Bible, as you study the scriptures and consider some things, that you can look at the resources that we've covered. So this next portion, for several weeks, probably about 8 sessions or so, not necessarily weeks, because I don't know what might take place between now and the time that we actually finish this third portion. Pastor Tim will be letting us know of the schedule and so forth. But for about 8 sessions, we're going to look at a template that I'm going to share with you tonight, and you can look at it, at least the blank spaces on the reverse side of your outline for tonight that you'll be filling out, and then we will be discussing those different aspects of that template. It's a very basic template, but I think it's one that will help you look at things from a biblical perspective. If we don't establish and maintain a biblical mindset, then we will become susceptible to embrace a world view. And that could be disastrous in our walk. I mean, it'll create some problems. Pastor Tim, for the last few sessions or Sunday mornings, he's been talking to us about some of the dangers of that lurk in the world and what we need to be alert to. Well, if we have a biblical perspective on things, a biblical mindset, as we go through life in this world, we're going to recognize some of those things. And as we recognize them, then we'll have the resources from the scripture to live differently than what those things may have an impact on us. And those are important for us to know. And as we have been called to make disciples, what will we make disciples, or whom will we make disciples after? Obviously, the answer for us is disciples after Christ. But the world has a different agenda, and we need to be alert to that. So let me go through the first 4 parts of what's on the front page of your outline for tonight, and then Roman numeral 5, I'll share with you a template on the board. And then we, in the weeks to follow, we'll be looking at specific parts of those. Number 1. The purpose. The questions that we need to ask ourselves sometimes in helping people, or the questions that we may be thinking about, are some of these. What do I use? And so the purpose for this third session of discipleship training is to look at a basic template of the fundamental components of biblical counseling in making disciples. I've stated it several times, and I'll continue to state it, that biblical counseling has its foundations in theology. It is not a separate anything. It's not a a separate entity of Christianity. We are not to approach the counsel of God's word from a different perspective other than what the scripture tells us. It's not necessarily a specialized ministry. It is a ministry of reconciliation, a ministry of restoration, and it's disciple making. And so when God sends us people to disciple, we're going to be asking the question, what do I use? Obviously, for us, the answer is the Bible, the Word of God. But you've got a library there, do you not? 66 books. And in that library of books, which one do you go to? And so even though our general answer is the Bible, there are specific kinds of things that the scripture, that the Lord wants us to look at in His Word to use in making disciples. The full counsel of the Word of God. And there's a starting point, and then from that starting point we go in one of two directions. So far you have examined two resources that the elders have picked for this time for us. One is the Fundamentals of the Faith. And in that resource, we examined some very important things that every Christian ought to know concerning the Word itself, the Holy Spirit, the very basic doctrines and ideas that they're not ideas actually. They're fundamental truths, very powerful and fundamental truths that every Christian ought to have a handle on. So that when questions begin to come at us from the one that we're making disciples, we can direct them to the Word of God so that they can have an anchor, something that is immovable in the Word. The second one is Self-Confrontation Manual. And even though we didn't go through the entire course as it's designed, we had an opportunity to look at some snapshots, in a sense, a thumbnail sketch of what is contained in the Self-Confrontation Manual. The idea there is that you go back and you avail yourself of the resources that are there as people bring life's issues to us. Those two resources will help tremendously. And there are other resources, but those are the two that the elders have selected for us to look at. And there may be others in time to come. Those aids are important. They contain the Word of God in an explicit manner. They're explained to us what the Word is, how the Word is to be used in specific issues of life. The biblical information that we need in order to pass on to anyone who would ask us why we believe in what we believe. And how can they understand the scripture? And so those resources are there. What do I use? We're going to use the full counsel of the Word of God, but we have resources that will help us in opening up the Word of God to another individual. And as I've said before, there are a lot of people in the church today who have given their lives to the Lord, but have this strange idea that they're not called to evangelism, they're not called to discipleship making, they're not called to come in alongside another person dealing with issues of life. And the reality of that is, that's not true. All of us have been called. The commission is that we make disciples as we go through life, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all of the things that Jesus left us to obey. The word that is rendered there is observe, and it's not just to gaze upon and look at, it's to obey. And I don't know about you, but that seems to be one of the most difficult things I have to do on a daily basis. Deal with obedience, or better yet, deal with disobedience. And bringing my life into a place where I am submissive to the work, the prompting of the Holy Spirit. Is that just me, or Do you think that that may be happening with people who come to see you, or do you discover that that might be part of your makeup as well? Every one of us probably struggles in some area with issues of obedience. And the reflection is disobedience, and then we have some problems. So what are you going to use when people bring their life's issues to you? You're going to use the full counsel of the Word of God. Whether they are unbelievers or believers. If they're not believers, obviously you're going to proclaim the gospel of salvation. And you have to be committed to proclaiming the gospel that is contained in the Scripture. Paul, addressing the Galatian church, said, "If anyone comes to you preaching a gospel contrary to the one that we have given you, let that person be accursed, even if it's an angel of the Lord." Those are pretty powerful words, are they not? And so the gospel that we promote, the gospel that we proclaim, has to be what is contained in the Holy Scriptures, unaltered. And so we must know it. Perhaps not here, but in some places in Christendom, I've asked the question to, especially to some of our students who study with us, to describe the gospel, explain the gospel in the beginning stages of their study. Do you know that for a lot of Christians, it's difficult for them to explain what the gospel really is all about? And yet, that's what we have been commissioned to proclaim. And so we need to know what the gospel is. All of what the gospel includes and all of what God wants us to embrace and live out as a result of accepting or receiving, being infused by the Holy Spirit with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to know what it is, because you're going to be giving the full counsel of the Word of God in the gospel. It's a heralding of the good news. It's a proclamation of freedom that comes in Christ. It's a declaration of the full work accomplished by Jesus on the cross. And it provides for us everything that we need to know about life and godliness as we live in this life. I think you already know by virtue of life that our life is going to be tested at least by two things: by fire and by storms. Anybody escape the storms and the fire? And for each of those, the Scripture tells us that there must be a strong and solid foundation. In one account, Jesus talks about that foundation being a solid rock. And when the man built his house on that solid rock, and the storms of life came, and the winds blew and the rains descended and they beat on that house, it stood firm. And in the other account, it says that there is no other foundation which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Same foundation. In the Corinthians account, it talks about the resources that need to be used by us to build. The resources there are described as either temporal or eternal. And they're going to be tested by fire. So what happens to the wood, hay, and the straw when it's tested by fire? It's gone, poof. But the gold, silver, and precious stone will stand the test of fire. We are going to be tested. And we are going to be tried. And the storms are on the horizon. And we know sometimes when they're coming, whether we're prepared or not, that's a different issue. And if we have committed ourselves to try to build things on temporal issues, they're not going to stand the test. So what do we use? We use the full counsel of the Word of God, making sure that people understand and we understand that our faith is firmly established in Jesus. And what we are doing in terms of our relationship with one another in utilizing the gifts that God has given us is to edify the body of Christ, is that we are availing ourselves of the eternal resources that God has given us. So when that testing comes, they'll stand. So that question will probably be in your mind when people are coming and talking to you. You'll be thinking, oh goodness, what do I use? Where do I go? What do I do? Have you ever discovered that? What you do is you say, call Pastor Tim. Call Pastor Sean. Well, what if Pastor Sean and Pastor Tim are not available? Well, we need to be prepared, do we not? Okay. So, the purpose is to utilize the resources God has given us in making disciples, making sure that the foundation and the resources we use for making disciples reflect the full counsel of the Word of God, and everything that we give to them is saturated with the truth of the Word of God. It has to be. What else do we have to give to people? If we are not prepared to help people grow in their relationship with the Lord, in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, we have no message. Any other message is not going to do. It'll always fall short. It'll leave people extremely empty. And by the way, they can't really use those resources because they will not stand the test. So we need to know what the Scripture says. Number two, examination of the components. How do I go about it? What do I have? What tools do I have? For the next several weeks, as I said, about 8 weeks or so, we'll be examining the different components that have to do with coming alongside an individual, another person, for the purpose of providing the full counsel of the Word of God. What resource does my brother need at this particular time in his life that God has already provided that I can help him with? In Hebrews, it says that we ought to encourage each other as long as today is called today. That idea of encouragement has the same idea as the Holy Spirit is described. One who comes alongside, parakletos is the word, and aids. Now, obviously, we're not the Holy Spirit. However, we are instruments of the Holy Spirit. And if we are availing ourselves of the resources of the Scripture, that's what we're going to use as we come alongside another individual. And be ready to do what it is that is what is called for. How do I go about it? Well, as we look at these different components, you'll have at least a roadmap of sorts so that you can begin to consider what's going on in this person's life, and you begin to filter what they're saying to you through the Word of God. You're thinking in terms of principles of the kingdom of God. That particular thing that is being presented to me, God has already provided a resource for, either directly or indirectly, but it's provided for. Now, as I think I've said before, some people have said, you can't really believe and trust that the Scripture is for all things. You don't consult it for auto mechanics, do you? Now, that's pretty silly. But yet, that's the kind of argument that people have used with me. Life and godliness. Automobiles are temporary things. They're temporal. They're pieces of tin. The Scripture does tell me how I ought to be a good steward of the things that He has given me. And if it's my car and I've been a bad steward, then God's going to speak to me about how I've not taken care of that automobile. But He's not going to tell me how to fix the carburetor. See, now I'm dating myself. I don't even know what cars injectors or that kind of stuff. That's not the point. The issue is life and godliness and my presence in this world and my calling and my commission and my involvement in other people's lives and my life reflecting who I am in Christ and how God wants me to be involved in another person's life for the purpose of glorifying God and building them up, bringing them to a place of completion. Not that I do it, but as an instrument, as a vessel, as a representative of the kingdom, which we all are if you have given your life to Christ. Immediately, you become a representative of the kingdom of God with a commission. So, how do I go about it? We're going to use a template to consider some of those things. Number three, observation. What am I looking for? Over the years, during my ministry experience, I have observed several things as people have brought their issues to me. They've said, I need help in this particular thing, and they want counsel. These things continue to this very day. For about 28 years, I've been doing ministry. But things haven't really changed in terms of what people bring to me and what they say. I have placed my observation, or I have looked at these things, and I have observed several things, and I've placed them at least three categories. And I use these categories to listen carefully to what people are saying to me as they describe their life's issues. And these are the things, the three categories. A, feelings, or how people feel. B, what they think. And C, what they believe. Now, in my office, typically, there are two things that people talk about more than another. And I think by now you probably have guessed it. It's A and B. What people feel and what they think. And it's not unusual for people to sit there in my office and say to me, well, I feel that. I think that. And they feel and they think. And so I ask them a question on the basis of number three or letter C. What do you believe? Because that's a different issue. Today we are so prone to be directed towards our thoughts and our feelings. And how reliable are those things, guys? How reliable are our feelings? Do you know how quickly our feelings change? I have said it here before, and it's on tape other places. I can be going home just ready to be home, and I can turn the doorknob and hear something or see something, and immediately my joy is gone. Seconds before, I was whistling and singing and joy. Not that I'm not talking about Susie being the source of my discontent and changing my feelings. It used to happen more when all the kids were home. Something was going on. And that's, I'm not saying they're the source either. The source was me, is in my own heart. My own emotions were extremely fickle and prone to change on a dime, just turn. Ever happened to you? How reliable are our emotions, our feelings? They're not very reliable. And yet, many times in my office, I've talked to people who are having problems because they're battling each other's emotions. It becomes very subjective. I think and I feel. I think and I feel. But what do you believe? Even that question raises some interesting answers. Because some people believe wrong things. But we need to investigate that. We listen to their feelings and to their thoughts and to their beliefs. But it gives us an idea of what's going on in their lives. Our feelings are not the most important thing. I may be stepping on some toes, but I'm sorry if I am. How can we make decisions on the issues of life and godliness based on our feelings? We can't. And yet, from a world's perspective, that seems to be a major issue. If you want to check it out, watch the talk shows sometimes. Listen to the things that those people are talking about. And there always seems to be a resident counselor that they bring out to examine what's going on in the lives of these people in the talk shows. A psychologist who's going to examine feelings and their own subjective thoughts. And guess what kind of counsel they receive from those people? Subjective counsel. And I know, because I've counseled people before who have had some problems because they've been encouraged to go with their heart. Have you ever heard that? You gotta do what your heart tells you to do. Oh, goodness. We're going to talk about the heart in a few weeks. What does the scripture say? The heart is deceitful. It's wicked above all else. And who can know it? But thank God that it doesn't stop there. It says, thanks be to God. God knows our hearts. And by the way, so do we. We might be able to think that we can fool others, but we certainly can't fool ourselves. We know what's... The scripture says that each man knows his own spirit and God knows the spirit of man. We know what's brewing in there. And we try to disguise it. We try to make excuses on the basis of our emotion. We have even said to people, you've got to let those emotions out. So what I want you to do is I want you to sit here and talk to this empty chair as if you're talking to the person who has offended you. By the way, you want to beat it up? Here's a pillow. Want to scream and holler and jump up and down? Hey, you need to do that. You need to let it all... Imagine. Imagine if we did some of those things to one another. No. Proverbs says for us to, above all else, guard our hearts, for from it flow the issues of life. And Jesus said it's from the heart that these evil things proceed. So our emotions need to be dealt with very, very carefully and biblically. And so when people start talking to us about, I feel, well, let's check those feelings with a plumb line of what Scripture has to say. Because that feeling could change in the next hour and the next day. And people make decisions about relationships more on the basis of feeling than, perhaps, more on the feeling, on feelings than on what the Scripture teaches. And our thoughts. The Scripture says, God says, that our thoughts are not His thoughts and His ways are not our ways. So I need to be renewed in my thinking. My mind needs to be renewed and I need to begin to think biblically. To consider all issues of life through what the Scripture has to teach us. What does God say about this? Again, there has to be a theological base. What is the theology behind it? What does God say? What is the heart and the mind of God concerning these particular things that I'm going to experience out in life? And something begins to happen to the feelings. What was it that God said to Cain? Cain, why has your countenance fallen? Apparently there was something about his face that was reflective of his emotions. And he said to him, God said to him, Cain, if you do good, he's not going to have problems. But if you don't, sin is crouching at the door to kind of pounce on you. Not kind of. To take over. So emotions can be very deceiving. They can be very manipulative. They can be very destructive. No, we're not called in the full counsel of the Word of God to give full vent to our emotions or to examine life on the basis of our subjective emotions. Those emotions must be brought under the control and submitted to the Holy Spirit and the work that He wants to do in our lives. And our thoughts are the same thing. A subjective thought about a particular issue in life, apart from the Word of God, how valuable is that? How important is that? How is it going to be of any edifying value as you're making disciples? As long as I've been a Christian, I have been involved in many, many Bible studies. And let me tell you of one type of Bible study that I think is extremely dangerous. This is a personal thought of mine, and again, I have to check it out with the Scripture, but it's the kind of Bible study where the leader says, now we're going to read this passage of Scripture, and I want everybody to tell me what you think about this passage of Scripture. And so if there are 12 people there, all of a sudden there are 12 thoughts about a particular passage. Since when is the Scripture subject to my thoughts concerning what God has said? We ought to be saying, what does God say? And what does my life look like in light of what God has said? All of a sudden it becomes a very subjective discussion. And unfortunately, sometimes says, well, you know, I don't know that that's really what it says, but if that says that to you, then I guess you got to apply it on the basis of your own understanding. What? Scripture says, don't be wise in your own eyes. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your steps. God wants me to put my foot where He sheds His light. That's the only place that my foot should go. Not to step out in the darkness of my own subjectivity. And so all of a sudden, God's word becomes subject to my own personal interpretation. It's not. It is definitely not. My thoughts, my heart, must be placed under the submission of Christ and under the submission of the work of the Holy Spirit. And my mind needs to be conformed and transformed and renewed on the basis of what the Scripture says, so that when I face life, I immediately have discernment. I said to you that one of the statements of one of the writings of J. Adams, one of his books that has stuck with me, is he says that discernment thrives in an atmosphere of absolutes. It thrives in that atmosphere of absolutes. And there's only one place where you will find absolutes, and that is in the Word of God. There are not many places of absolutes. There's one place of absolutes, and that comes from God, revealed to us through His Word. And the more that we concentrate and study and prepare ourselves in the Word of God, the greater discernment you will have when confronted with life's issues and when God sends us somebody to disciple. That's what we proclaim. That's what we promote. That's what we teach. And then our beliefs. Where do our beliefs come from? Why do we believe what we believe? For 27 years, I was taught to believe certain things in the denomination that I was in. I wasn't a Christian in that denomination. But I was led to believe that I was on the basis of my infant baptism and all of the other things that the church said that I needed to participate in order to be a good Christian. As I began to examine those things in light of the Scripture, I discovered they're not in there. Many of them were not in there. And if they were in there, they certainly weren't in the same vein that I was taught. There was a distortion. 27 years believing things that don't come from the Word of God. And so we need to carefully examine our beliefs. And if those beliefs don't line up with what the Scripture teaches, folks, we need to abandon them. We need to walk away from them. We need to turn our back on them and quit doing those things on the basis of just because pragmatism that's part of my church, or that's what I was taught, or we need to turn our back on those things and then begin to walk in newness of life as we come to Christ and begin to embrace and believe what God says. Whether it feels good or not. Whether it lines up with my thinking or not. Because my feelings and my thoughts and my beliefs apart from the Word of God are all subjective, and I could create some problems in my own life and problems in the lives of people that I'm going to be called to disciple. It's important. It's of vital importance in making disciples. We don't want to be like those who Jesus said, we make men twice the sons of hell. Right? Man, what an awful thing to hear. No, not at all. We don't want to be like the Sadducees who decided that, yes, they wanted to practice a form of Judaism, but they were going to mix it in with the Roman culture. No, none of that in our postmodern existence. And so those things, when people begin to talk to us, you will hear them say, well, I really feel that. Okay, let's talk about those feelings in the light of God's Word. Well, I really think. Well, this is what I believe. Let's begin to bring all of those things and begin to line them up with the Word of God, which means that our major responsibility is going to be in discipleship making, that we know the Word of God. I know that, I mean, you guys are here on Wednesday evening, and I'm probably preaching to the choir, so to speak. But we in the Christian community are lazy people. You know when we open our Bibles, in many cases, and I know that this is a broad statement, on Sunday morning, and we read along with Pastor Tim. Or in some cases, we don't read along. We close our Bible and we take his outline and we make notes as he preaches and teaches us. Preaches to us and teaches us. And our Bibles sometimes throughout the week remain closed. Well, then how are we going to know the full counsel of the Word of God if we're looking to magazines, if we're reading... By the way, can somebody please tell me what Christian fiction is all about? Fiction. What are those things? How are you going to be grounded in biblical theology if you're reading a fiction? It may be entertainment or amusing. By the way, you know what it means to be amused? Do not think. No thinking is the word. Muse means to think. Means no. No thinking. And we like that sometimes. Don't make me do those things. Just amuse me. Entertain me. Don't make me think. That's not what God has called us to do. No, we need to think. And we need to place our thoughts and our hearts in judgment. We need to judge those things. And we need to ask ourselves, does my heart, do my thoughts line up with the truth of what the Scripture teaches? And if the answer is no, it does not, we've got some things to do. And number five, Roman numeral five, practical implementation. What do I apply? I'm sorry, four. Thank you. Roman numeral four. What do I apply? The Scripture has much to say about truth and very little, if at all, to say about theory. As a result of this fact, the most practical and most important element in making disciples is the truth that comes from the Word of God. People say to me sometimes, do you want to hear my theory on it? Yeah, I'd like to hear your theory on it, because that'll reveal their hearts, their minds. Now we have some place to go to examine their theory in light of the truth. the most important element in making disciples is to make sure that we are in the truth of the Word of God. Why? In Jesus' prayer, John 17, he says to the Father, Father, sanctify them by thy truth. Your word is truth. And if we're not involved in the declaration of the Word of God, we might be misleading. No. We will be misleading people. No ands, ifs, or buts. We will mislead them. And that's problematic. Okay? So here's the questions. What do I use? How do I go about it? What am I looking for? And how do I apply it? Well, I'm going to share with you a simple template in the minutes that remain. And then in the weeks to come, we'll be looking at those specific kinds of things. On the back of your handout, you have a bunch of little boxes. And you're going to be filling those out as I go along. And then, in the weeks to come, we're going to be attaching them. They will go together, and we'll attach them by arrows to see where what goes. So at the very top, you have a box that has what you place in there is this: the Holy Spirit and the Word. That's going to be the foundation of everything that we do in making disciples. The Word of God, under the direction and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You know, when people say to you, well, you know, the Holy Spirit said to me, and you can't go to the Scripture. Now, I understand that in some cases, we may not be immediate, we will... Perhaps we can't find it immediately in the Word. But if the Holy Spirit is speaking to us, He's going to speak to us primarily through the Word. Because there's no new revelation today. That may be surprising to some people, but there is no new, what's it called, rhema knowledge? New revelation? The canon is closed. God has proclaimed and revealed to us everything that we need to know for living on this world as representatives of His kingdom. So it's the Holy Spirit is going to open our eyes to the understanding of His Word. He is our appointed teacher. And it's going to be through the Word. We don't need anything else. We don't need people on TV saying to us, I've got a new word for the church. Turn the TV off. Don't sit there and listen to something that does not come from the Word of God. There are a lot of people who have experienced a lot of problems as a result of that. Let's not be part of that. Okay. Then, on the left hand, we'll move across. The next block is of... You have the counselee. For purposes in this section, we're going to be talking about the human counselor and the counselee, or the disciple and the disciple maker. Those would be synonymous. Okay, there's two people. Now, I shared with you a very brief definition and a simple definition about biblical counseling. It was one person helping another recognize, understand, and resolve his or her needs through the resources of Christ. And so the next box is resources. And up here you have another little box on the right-hand corner where you put some question marks. Because there are two types of resources that people are going to avail themselves of. On this one, it can be questionable, but it might not be. For example, we can avail as Christians, avail ourselves of non-biblical
issues. Let me rephrase that. Resources that don't necessarily have a moral issue to it that are going to be unbiblical or anti-biblical. For example, if one of you came to me and you said you were having some struggles in your finances, and I send you to another brother who's going to help you learn how to balance your books, there is a moral implication of being a good steward, but that doesn't mean that we can't avail ourselves of resources that are available to us to teach us how to look at our money and manage it and take care of it. But there are some questionable ones, and we need to be able to examine those resources. And if they are contrary to the Word of God, we can't very well send people to them. Let me give you another example. Not long ago, there was a couple, a family who came to see me in my office. They wanted family counseling. And I listened to their thoughts and their beliefs and their emotions and so forth. And about 30 minutes after I had listened to all of these things, I said to them, okay, and I was doing this purposely so that I was going to challenge their beliefs, because they said some things to me that didn't align themselves up with the Word of God. I said, what I want to do then, next week, I'm going to make an appointment this week for you to go see another counselor. And so I'm going to send you to the Mormon Church, because you know the Mormon Church has really got some really good things to say about family, and their eyes opened up real wide, and they moved up on their seats, and they said to me, you've got to be kidding. You're not going to do that. And I said, well, why wouldn't I? Because we don't believe the same thing. They don't teach and preach the Jesus of the Bible. And I said, and in light of what you just said to me a while ago, why are you believing those particular things? We are so prone, many cases, to latch on to resources that are anti-biblical because we don't recognize them as such. Folks, we need to know what those are. I said, no, I'm not going to send you there. But I wanted to say that just to kind of startle you into thinking about what you've just said. Let's review what you've said. Let's look at the beliefs that you have and see if they line up with what God has to say. And where did you get those things, by the way? They're resources. One person helping another. Recognize, understand, and resolve her needs through the resources of Christ. Here's our resources. The work of the Holy Spirit and the revealed Word of God. And we have to be careful for these other resources. We'll connect the dots later on. Okay, now when we're getting together with another individual for discipleship making, what's going to be revealed is the heart of the individual. You will begin, the more they talk, they'll begin to reveal what's going on in their hearts. And you're going to discover whether they are saved or unsaved. Regenerate or unregenerate. Redeemed or not. You're going to find out where they are in their relationship with the Lord. Yes?
Saved and unsaved.
Oh, yes, those are the little boxes. Thank you. Those two boxes. And see, I'm already connecting things, so that's okay. Disregard my lines for now. Because regardless of where they're at, our calling is to make disciples. We are called to make disciples. And when we get together with people, you got to know where they are in their relationship with the Lord, because you can't very well expect an unsaved person to apply the Word of God. Can you? You can't. It says the natural person, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, nor can he know them, because they must be spiritually discerned. The saved person, you're going to discover whether they are, well, you'll discover whether they are being carnal or spiritual. And if they're being spiritual, they're not using their thoughts, than their emotions to make the judgment on the issues of their life. They're using the Word of God because it's not subjective. They don't even judge themselves, the Scripture says. The judgment has already been made and cast by the Word of God. And so they examine their life in light of the objective plumb line of the Word of God. Because what people come to you for is change. Right? Don't you hear that? I really don't like my situation. I really would like it to be different. I need some things changed. And it's usually, I want you to change my husband. No, I want you to change my wife. No, I want you to change my children. No, would you please change my pastor? It's always somebody else. Isn't it? But they do want to change. They want to experience something. And the goal of that change is sanctification. Sanctification. It's the experiencing of being set apart for the glory of God and for the edification of the body of Christ and for a witness to this lost world. It's growing in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. That's our goal. That's what we're going to be doing in making disciples. And in that change, you're going to see some action. If after a period of time of meeting with people, you see no action, no fruit, something is going on. The Scripture often talks about season. It says, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap if you don't lose heart. It uses agrarian language, agricultural language, farming language. And we understand that if in the spring we go out on a Monday and we plant corn, we're not going to enjoy it on the following Tuesday, are we? It's going to be a season. So we can look at time in terms of seasons. But if we don't begin to see some change, no sanctification, there's got to be some demonstration of that change. Something's going on. We come back here. Come back to the issues of the heart. And if they continue to claim that they're saved, then they're being acting like a natural person, an unregenerate person. And there's going to be some things that have to be done. You're going to be involved in the proclamation. Of the Word of God. And in that proclamation, you're going to be revealing. And so part of that is revelation. With hopes that there is conviction. Now we know that the one who has the greatest work, the one who does the greatest work in our hearts regarding conviction is the Holy Spirit. But we have to be involved in conviction as well. And so we're going to be proclaiming and revealing and convicting. Meaning making a defense on the basis of the Word of God, because we have to come to a place of seeing where we stand with God. If God has declared something, then we stand subject to that judgment. And if we are not willing to let the Holy Spirit convict us of those things that are different from what the Scripture says, then perhaps our heart is being hardened. So as a disciple maker, these are the things you're going to be doing: proclaiming, revealing, and convicting. There again, the only way that that's going to take place is if you know the Scripture. What else are you going to be giving people? How can you give them anything else? You can't. And so the passage of Scripture that primarily we're going to be looking at here is 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17. Okay? Now, in the commission that we have from God is that we make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them. So what does 2 Timothy 3:15 says? That the Spirit, that the Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit and profitable for teaching. So whether you like it or not, whether it feels good or not, in disciple making, you are going to teach people. You can't get away from it. You have to be involved in teaching. You've got to teach others what you have learned in order that they learn it and teach it to others. It's the 2 Timothy 2 principle. The things that you have heard and seen and seen me do, you teach others so that they in turn can teach others also. And so you are going to have to learn how to teach a person to walk in newness of life. This is how you do it. Also, conviction. Now, you may not like to tell people when they're wrong, or why they're wrong, or how they're wrong, but you're going to have to. And I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of people who have been mad at me over the years because I've said to them, what you are doing is wrong. Guess what I've heard? Yeah, who are you to tell me? Who made you judge? Since when did you become the Holy Spirit? Who do you think you are? No, I'm telling you that you're wrong on the basis of this principle of the Scripture. This is what God says. The judgment is His, not mine, and I'm here to tell you that you're wrong. And that's not very comfortable in today's seeker approach to the church. Tough. Too bad. Because that's not what God has called us to do. You're going to have to be involved in the process of correction. To correct an individual. And now, imagine your children learning something in school and they're not learning it correctly and the teacher doesn't correct it. What's going to happen? They're going to continue to do it wrong for a long period of time. And so when we're listening to people and they're telling us something that doesn't line itself up with the Word of God, we're going to have to tell them the truth of what the Scripture says so the correction can be given so that they can direct their steps, redirect the way of doing things, and training or teaching in righteousness. Teaching in righteousness. I know you can't read my scribbles from way back there. Okay, this is what the Word of God is profitable for under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For teaching, for conviction, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Why? There it is. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, complete for every good work. And the description of the good works and the definition of the good works is what the Scripture says. It's not philanthropy for philanthropy's sake. It's not the goodness that the world says. Remember, the goodness of humanity apart from Jesus is as filthy rags. The righteousness of humanity apart from Christ. The only righteousness that God will accept and see is the righteousness of Christ in us. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, complete and ready for everything that God has called us to do. Okay, so there's your small template. And we're going to connect them by to see where we go and how we do these things. Because we need to know in making disciples. For some time now, the church makes disciples by inviting people to church on Sunday morning. Now that's okay. We need to invite people to church on Sunday morning. We need them to come listen to our pastor explain the Word of God, line by line, word upon word, precept upon precept. They need to hear it just as much as we do. But we may be moving away from our own obedient calling to the Lord, in the Lord, that we need to learn how to make disciples. So how do we do it? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in the next few weeks. We're going to take some of these ideas, and this is just a template. It's not the template. It's not the only one. But in my simple way of looking at things, it's helped me tremendously. Because to listen to people share with me their issues of life, and I'm filtering it through subjectively on my own thoughts, my own opinions, my own heart, my own beliefs, that is dangerous. That is dangerous. And unfortunately, in our community and throughout the United States and perhaps even globally, Christians are going to counseling with people who call themselves Christians who are not doing this. They're not doing biblical counseling. They're doing something else. And they're listening to and filtering the thoughts of our dear brothers and sisters through another lens, another mindset. And it's not the biblical mindset, and they're going to redirect or misdirect, I should say, God's people. We can't just attach the name of Jesus to anything we want to. And what I've discovered in many cases in Christian communities, tell me what that symbol is. It's the ichthus. It's the fish. And in many cases, the fish has become a hook. So we look to the yellow pages and we think that because we see the fish, they must be Christians. And they snag us. And you listen to them and they begin to promote some things that you may as well watch the talk shows, the secular talk shows, because they're promoting the same thing. So we have some work to do, do we not? And the wonderful thing is that the Holy Spirit is going to instruct us. If we submit ourselves and bow our lives to His Lordship and embrace and implement and live out His living Word in our lives, and then help those who God sends us to do the same. And we'll honor God and we'll be a strong group of believers. And discernment will thrive. We'll honor our God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your revealed word. Lord, your word declares that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. Father, we cannot live apart from the counsel of your heart and your mind. Please, Father, sear our hearts. Impress on our hearts, Father. Embed your word in our heart. Lord, teach us your ways. Use us, Father, in the lives of one another for your glory and for the building up of the body of Christ, that we might be the witness that you've called us to. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We're dismissed. I hope you have a wonderful week. See you Sunday.